You are what you do, not what you say you'll do.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. We're going to be looking back at the games from Tuesday, talking about some injury stuff. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Of course, previewing Wednesday's game. Wednesday's games at the end of the show. Also, I did an earlier show, which you can check in your feed, about 15 minutes or so, talking about the John Collins suspension and the ramifications of that. We'll be touching a little bit more on that today after the outcome of Tuesday's game, just to see how that all panned out. There was some buy low discussion in that show, also about some buy low, potential buy low targets. So let's have a look at these games from Tuesday now. The first one we look at, the Boston Celtics get the win over the Cavs, 119 to 113. The Celtics were without Jaylen Brown and Enes Kanter again. So Vanilla Tice, Daniel Tice, he was starting 30 minutes, 5 points, but 9 rebounds, 5 blocks. And if he shot even close to decently, we're looking at a really, really strong line. There's speculation maybe he remains as the starter even when Kanter returns. That was the preseason speculation until opening night where Kanter took the job back. While Kanter is out, Tice has some interesting streaming value. He's available in shit tons of leagues. Anything 14 or deeper, he's got that short-term value. It was great for Gordon Hayward as well. 39 points on 85% shooting. Of course, that won't stick. But we talked ad nauseum about how if he was ever going to get back to his old self, it had to be this season. And he is. He looks almost back to that level. 39, 7, and 8. Really returning value on that mid-round pick that you would have invested in Hayward. So a strong night there. While Kemba Walker, not super efficient, but 26 and 8 with 6 triples and 2 blocks. Nice to get 8 rebounds and 2 blocks out of Kemba Walker. We're not counting on that all the time, but a strong performance nonetheless. Well, no free throw attempts from Jason Tatum, but 18 and 7 with 2 blocks on 56% shooting is encouraging. The Rock DJ Robbie Williams, another just 2 blocks for him. That's all he is, really a blocks streamer. And when Kanter returns, I'm not sure how much they're going to actually play him. This was only 11 minutes for Grant Williams in this game as well, who'd been getting big minutes. They interestingly went to Javonte Green in the first half, in the first quarter actually, and then he never actually returned to the game. So that was a little bit of a weird rotational decision. Marcus Smart filled in for Jaylen Brown, didn't do much, 8 points, but 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. That's what Marcus Smart does. On to the Cavs, Kevin Love, 17 and 9, a steal, 2 blocks, 50%. Fantastic. Sell high if anyone gives you anywhere close to that value. As of now, I am more inclined to just hold and to sit on Kevin Love. Maybe he gets traded. Maybe he gets hurt. We don't know any of those things at this point, but nobody's going to give you back the level of production or anywhere close to the level of production that Love is providing for you at the moment, so I'd rather just ride it out. Tristan Thompson's probably more of an aggressive sell high because I think you might be able to actually get something out of him, but again, 19 and 13, 4 assists, 1 block. This is the best season of his career. He's blocking shots, he's grabbing boards, he's playing a lot of minutes, and he looks actually great out there. Now, could he get hurt? Could they minimize him at some point? Maybe, but you know, he's obviously a must-add player, and if you can get a top 50 guy back, I would seriously inquire. The Padawan Colin Sexton had a very Colin Sexton line, 21 points with 2 rebounds and 3 assists. He blocked a shot, which is nice, and he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. My statement on him from a couple of shows ago remains the same. Like, he's got that value for points and in points leagues, but outside of that, he's just not going to help you in other categories. So it really does depend on the structure of your team as to how much value he holds on your team and where you sit with Colin Sexton. Larry Nance, 15 points is nice. 15 minutes is not. No steals. That's really dropping off. The field goal percentage was strong in this one. The biggest problem here with Nance is where the minutes are. Only 15 minutes with Love and Thompson playing all of those front court minutes. That really limits Nance's upside. I probably do still hold on to him in most cases, but in a 10-teamer, I think he probably is in that drop zone. Darius Garland, no chance of holding him in a 12-teamer. 4 points in 28 minutes, terrible shooting. He is a long way off being a fantasy-relevant player. Well, Jordan Clarkson, just doing what he does. 12 points, 4 assists, a bonus, 2 blocks. More of a 14-team guy, but that's solid enough. Chetty Osman, not a 12-team league player. in my opinion. Let's move on now, flip it over to the next game. We are looking at the Indiana Pacers and the Charlotte Hornets, an overtime victory for the Hornets. Huge in this one. Let's start with the Pacers. They were without Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis. So the Dart, Goga Badadze, he got a start.
Problem with my Gogo Mobile. Gogo Mobile.
No, not the Dart. Not the Dart.
He did foul out, but not before playing 32 minutes, blocked another four shots, had 11 rebounds. The three-pointers weren't there, 0 of 2 from 3, but providing enough value. And I think that he should be in the rotation when Sabonis and Turner returns, playing some of those minutes at backup center instead of guys like TJ Leaf. As for TJ, he was great last game. Yeah, not so much here. 0 points on one shot with 3 rebounds, while Jakar Sampson started for Sabonis, had 7 and 4 in his 20 minutes. Badadze is clearly the best out of that trio of backup big men. So for deeper leagues, Goga's got some value. Malcolm Brogdon continues to dominate, 31, 5, and 8. Again, he could be a sell high because Victor Oladipo is going to take something off it, but how much actually is he going to? Like, Brogdon is that good. I think that he's probably going to be top 50 the rest of the year. Tony Warren Jr., crazy shooting here, of course, from Warren, where he went, 15 of 18 from the field. That's 83%, 33 points, 2 steals, 2 triples. His game is highly predicated on high efficiency and usage. Oladipo might have more of an impact on Warren than he does on someone like Brogdon, but that's strong from Warren, who's still available in 29% of formats. The 3 started to fall in this one, which was good, 2 of 2. He'd been piss poor all season from deep, but good to see those numbers. Well, Jeremy Lamb, 18, 5 and 2, 2 steals, 2 triples. Again, really strong value in 12-team formats, at least until we get Oladipo returning. On to the Hornets. Big numbers from Devonte Graham again. 42 minutes, 35 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 4 triples. Outplayed Dwayne Bacon again. He's a must-roster guy across every 12-team and 10-team league. The shooting is going to wax and wane, but the minutes and the usage look, or the minutes, most importantly, look there. Him and Terry Rozier both played over 40, while Bacon played only 13. Dwayne Bacon did his Tony Snell impression, had a 13 trillion in this game. He is a clear 12-team drop. Rozier, the encouraging thing here is that he was able to play big minutes and put up good numbers with Graham going off. 22, 5, and 4 for Rozier. Didn't shoot well, but did take 19 attempts, was 5 of 5 from the line. That's strong from Rozier to at least do that while Graham is going bananas. Well, PJ Washington looked great, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, but then suffered a leg contusion, didn't play towards the end of the game. He's considered day-to-day at this stage. The shooting for him is quite up and down. He is lacking a little bit in the peripherals, but he is a 12-team league guy. Cody Martin, 33 minutes for Cody Martin, and went scoreless, but 11 rebounds, 3 assists. They really like what this guy can do. He's probably a better on-court player than fantasy contributor, but a guy that, you know, played better than Malik Monk, played better than Dwayne Bacon in this game, and has clearly jumped ahead of guys like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. When Nick Batum returns, it is going to be interesting to see how they run things. I'm not worried about Washington or Graham when Batum returns. I'm not worried about them at all. I think Bacon, Monk, and Martin are the guys who really are going to cop it. Miles Bridges. People are quite disappointed with Bridges, but I'm not that off on him. I did talk about him in the Buy Low show today. 18 points on 80% shooting. We talked about how his field goal percentage was way down. The thing that's really killing him is the lack of steals. No steals in this game, no blocks, and it was a weird 0 of 3 from the free throw line. That's a bit abnormal. He is still, to me, a must-roster 12-team league guy. Cody Zeller only played 17 minutes because the comeback started when Bismack Biyombo came in. Biyombo had 15 and 6 with 2 blocks. Zeller, just the 7 points. I'm still holding Zeller, and I'm not adding Biyombo. It's just one of those, hey, the bench got us back into it, so we rode those guys pretty hard, and Biyombo was one of the key figures there. I've already mentioned that Dwayne Bacon is a pretty easy drop candidate across nearly all formats. The next game up, the San Antonio Spurs and the Atlanta Hawks. Let's go to the Spurs. The Hawks win 108-100. DeMar DeRozan, 22-4-4. The nice defensive numbers, the great efficiency, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 63% from the field. That was good from DeMar. And not only do we have the frustration with Maximum Derek. With, you know, him splitting minutes with DeJounte Murray. Well, now we had an extra variable thrown in with Patty Mills getting some of those minutes. White played only 19. Murray, he struggled as well and played only 19. Mills had 16 points on 6 shots for 26 minutes. So he got those extra minutes. It's getting harder and harder to justify holding on to Derek White. I think at some point they're going to have to play them together. But Yeah, it depends how much of a panicker you are, how bad you're going. I am still holding White, but it is getting, the upside looks to be getting capped and capped every day. As for DeJounte, I've talked about how his field goal percentage was at numbers which don't seem entirely sustainable. It fell right off here, 1 of 7 shooting. He still put up 5 rebounds and 4 assists, but didn't play that well, had no steals and only played 19 minutes. He, regardless, is a must-roster guy, but some of these early season numbers for him have been quite unsustainable. 17 points for Bryn Forbes on 16 shots. He's a 3-point streamer for 12 team as well. It was a nice Trey Lyles game, 8 and 12, and a solid bounce back from LaMarcus Aldridge, 14 points with 4 blocks after his last couple of stinkers. On to the Hawks. Trey Young returned from his ankle injury. He had a minutes limit. He dropped 29 and 13 in under 30 minutes. 5 triples and 2 steals. His usage is going to be through the roof. 40% usage in this game without John Collins, putting up some pretty good numbers. The big story, of course, is Jabari Parker starting for Collins, a must-add player now. 19 and 8 in 32 minutes with a steal on 64% shooting. That probably doesn't stick, but the minutes most likely will. Big minutes also for DeAndre Hunter, who had 16 and 8. That's nice. Nothing in the defensive end of things. Solid enough percentages. Not as much of a must-grab to me as what Jabari is. But this is an encouraging night for Hunter. At least put him on your watch list, maybe as a temporary type ad. The Hawks do play again on Wednesday. DeAndre Bembry with Young back, only 19 minutes, but filled the box score. 7-5-1, 3 steals and a block. Really underrepresented in fantasy leagues. Rostered in only 7% of Yahoo leagues. That's way too low. He's a 16-team guy at the very minimum. While Fantapants Kevin Huerter went back to the bench with Young in the lineup. 7-6 with 2 blocks for Huerter. I am still holding, but his upside is relatively limited, so if there is a guy out there, if it's Devontae Graham, to me that's a pretty easy swap to grab someone like Graham over Huerter. Cam Reddish hit 3 triples in this game. I'm not banking on that happening too often. He was also 67% overall from the field. Again, not really counting on that happening all that much. While the opportunity for someone like Alex Len or Bruno Fernando to get extra minutes with Collins out didn't eventuate. 14 minutes for Len, 15 minutes for Fernando, and Damian Jones played 18 minutes. So it's going to be like a three-way center situation that's not going to make any of them really 12-team league guys, I don't believe. On to the next game of the day. It is the Lakers and the Bulls. The Bulls were up huge. They were 15 points, I believe, at one point. And, of course, in true Chicago and Jim Boylan fashion, they shit the bed, losing 118 to 112. Boylan didn't go back to his starters early in the fourth quarter. And when they asked, hey, in hindsight, would you go back to the starters a little bit earlier to stop that run from the Lakers? And, of course, Boylan said, no, we want the bench players to learn winning basketball. Cool. Well, they lost, so I'm not really sure. That guy is an absolute numbnuts and should not be coaching in the NBA. It really is as simple as that. This team is an absolute shit show. Let's look at the Lakers side of things. It wasn't a great night from Anthony Davis. 15 and 7 with 3 blocks. He'll be better. While LeBron, another triple-double. That's 3 straight. 30, 10, and 11. 2 steals, a block, and 8 of 9 from the line. With Avery Bradley out and Rajon Rondo out, Quinn Cook got a boost, 17 points with 3 triples in 26 minutes. Of course, when Rondo and Bradley come back, he might not even be in the rotation at all, so hard to get too excited for him. Well, JaVale McGee, one of his better performances, but still, only 17 minutes. 10 and 6, 2 blocks, a perfect 4 of 4 from the field. But in a game where Dwight Howard got into very early foul trouble, we still only got 17 JaVale minutes. It still doesn't look like to me he's a must-hold 12-team league guy. As for Howard, 24 minutes, 6 and 6. Didn't play at all in the first quarter. Had 5 fouls total, so a horrible night in general. But still is probably the guy that I want. While the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, he bludgeoned his way to 15 points with 16 shots. The 3 shooting isn't there. It hasn't been. He's 1 of 8. He hasn't been for 2 years. He offers very little peripherally. I'll give him a little bit of a leeway in terms of being a 12-team league guy. I don't think it's going to last all season. Danny Green, just, you know, nice numbers. 2 steals, 1 3, 1 block. That's okay. I wouldn't have him as an absolute 100% lock must roster guy, though. And KCP filled in for Avery Bradley and did about as well as you'd expect. On to the Bulls, Zach LaVine, 26, 7, and 7. Good bounce back from LaVine to put up those numbers. He has been struggling. The numbers were going to come at some point. I don't know about Lauri Markkanen, though.
Oh, hi, Mark.
7 points, 2 triples, 3 rebounds. He looks completely shot, like no confidence at all, nothing. Now, there are a couple of things here that make me think that there is some significant room for bounce back. He's shooting 27% on threes. Like, that's going to come back. He was a 36% shooter in both of his first 2 seasons. So that stuff can return. He's shooting his twos at about the same level, 48% this year, 48% last year, 50% the year before. The rebound numbers, the lack of defense, that's always been a concern. But the rebound numbers aren't even down that much, down from 10 to 9.5 per 36. The block numbers have been cut in half. They were shit to begin with. And his free throw numbers are what's the real troublesome thing, down from 87 to 79. So really, a lot of it is just a shooting issue. Like, if the threes get back to normal, if he starts hitting 83, 84% from the line, then things will begin to be okay. The confidence will return, and hopefully he starts to play more minutes. He is a strong buy low to me, because I don't believe he will be this bad of a shooter all season, but he looks horrible. Otto Porter, looking better. 18 points on 12 shots. He had a steal. Only one rebound and zero assists, so it wasn't the best night. But four triples on 57% shooting is encouraging from Porter. If he was dropped, he's an ad. Kobe White went bananas. I think he had 16 first half points. Only ended with 18. He is a long way from being a winning point guard on a good team. Thankfully for him, he's not playing on a good team, so there could be some opportunities for him down the stretch. 18, 5, and 4 is super impressive. But also, go back and look at the games prior to this. He was terrible. Hard to get a full gauge on that, but you would hope that they could just eliminate Chris Dunn out of the rotation and give White those backup minutes. Tomas Satoransky is completely passive. Again, 7 points, but 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. These all help for fantasy. Now, the upside is really limited for Satoransky because of how they're playing him, how they're utilizing him, and how he's also playing himself. But he's giving us the rebounds, he's giving us the assists, he's giving us the steals to provide close to that top, not quite at the top 100 zone, which is around where he was drafted. But finding assists is not an easy thing to do, and he is providing those at the moment. And that is what is, you know, giving him the value. He's the 141st ranked player, but it's 5.5 assists and 1.1 steals for Satoransky, and that can be more valuable than just looking at an overall rank number. Wendell Carter Jr., terrible percentage, just 3 of 6 on the line, but 11 and 11 with a block is okay. It's definitely serviceable. While Chris Chandler Hutchison into the rotation, he took Ryan Arcejackano's place. He is not going to be really of any fantasy use at all this season, would be my guess for Big Chandler. The next game, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Orlando Magic. My man Johnny Isaac, 30 minutes as the Magic go down 102-94 to the Thunder. 13 and 10 for Isaac. Another 3 blocks. Continues to be an absolute beast defensively. He's going to be a really strong top 50 guy at some point soon. While Markelle Fultz, only 24 minutes as a starter, but 13-3-4 is good enough. He is a 12-team league hold, but depending on who else is available, his upside does appear limited just by the fact that they're putting it at like a real timeshare, 27 minutes for Augustin here, 13 points, and that's limiting Fultz's upside. Vooch had 10 and 11, not a good night. Aaron Gordon, 15 and 8, solid enough, but he's just not doing enough in enough areas. While Terry Ross, a clear drop, just 6 points in 23 minutes because the chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He's taking most of those minutes, or those extra 5-6 minutes away from us. Now, as for Aminu, he was okay here. 13 and 5 with 2 steals, but only is just a deeper league type option. Mo Bamba blocked 2 blocks. He had blocked 2 shots. He had 7 boards as well.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But he's likely not going to play on Wednesday as it is a back-to-back and he is resting in one of those. Michael Carter-Williams was available to play in this game and they didn't play him. They went with a 9-man rotation. For the Thunder, both Steven Adams and Nerlens Noel were available to play, so they did. Chris Paul, the early panics for him, 20 points, 6 assists, 3 steals. Now, the assists, much like Mike Conley, I am concerned they're never going to get back to that level with how the Thunder play, but the aggressiveness on offense, the scoring, it all looks to be a much better spot here for Paul, while Gilgeous Alexander had 24-3-2 on another high-efficiency night. MC Hamadou Diallo putting up some good numbers.
Stop.
Have a time. 6 and 6, but 2 steals and 2 blocks. Continues to be a much better player than Terrence Ferguson. I see a timeshare coming, if not an outright win of the starting job for Diallo. So he's a name to watch. Steven Adams, 11 and 11 with a block. Good to see him back, but still just the 26 minutes. While the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, horrible shooting. 16 points on 17 shots. Struggling a little bit in numerous peripheral areas. Still a guy that we want to hold. But they aren't using him quite as much as we thought they would in the preseason. Well, Dennis Schroeder, an absolute turd of a game. 5 points on 11 shots. He is close to a 12-team, not a must roster, but definitely a maybe roster 12-team league guy. But he will have these nights where he just obliterates your team's overall field goal percentage. Darius Bazley, another strong night as well. A name to watch. A Gallinari trade goes down. Bazley's an add to me. 10 and 6, 2 threes, 2 steals, and has looked pretty solid getting initially at the start of the season. I didn't even know he'd be a rotation guy, but he's forced his way in there and looks so much better than initially anticipated. On to the last game of the night, the Denver Nuggets. They blew out the Miami Heat at home, 109-89 for Denver. Kelly Olynyk with a big game here. 24 minutes, 13 and 7, 4 triples, 2 steals and a block. Previous to that, it had been Myers Leonard going off. It's really tough to judge that Heat rotation. It's why I was pretty, you know, not massively keen on Leonard as a must-add guy just because of the uncertainty with that rotation. It was Olynyk and Leonard getting the bulk of those minutes, though. James Johnson didn't play until the game was over. He had 3 steals in 6 minutes, but he didn't get in until the end of the game. So Olynyk and Leonard getting all those power forward minutes. Jim Butler, 16, 7 and 4 with 2 steals is strong from him, while Dragic had 9 and 7. Justice Winslow returned. The start to the Justice Winslow playing alongside Jimmy Butler era has been bad. I am still holding on to Winslow at this point, but if he doesn't coexist in this situation and he reverts back to the Winslow we've seen through the first 4 years of his NBA career, which, to be honest, hasn't been very good, then he becomes a drop guy. He's not at this point, but it hasn't been a good start next to Butler. The things that we thought might be concerns with guys like Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero, they really manifested here. Now, Nunn still played 33 minutes. He played all of the blowout portion of the game and got a couple of late points. 11 points on 14 shots for Nunn with 4 assists and 2 steals. So in the end, the line looks okay. It flatters him. He wasn't that good. He is still a hold for now, but it wasn't a great moment here for him next to Butler. As for Hero, only 15 minutes, 2 points. Again, those concerns that I had with Hero when Winslow and Butler and someone else, Dragic, were all playing. Like, how was he going to get all these touches? And then you add a guy like Nunn coming from nowhere. There just seems to be too many guys in that rotation for him to have as consistently high a role as some people may have expected after some of his early season heroics. So they are still, you know, real just marginal holds at this point, Hero and Nunn, but that could really quickly change. Just the 2 points for Tyler, as I mentioned. I think I mentioned Derek Jones Jr. returned. Again, that's another name that just adds into the confusion of this rotation. 17 minutes, 8 points, 2 steals, a long way from being a standard league guy. While Bam Adebayo, he only played 25 minutes. 6 and 11 with 2 blocks, 2 of 9 shooting. It was a bad efficiency night from Adebayo. 2 of 5 from the line. He'll be fine as we move forward, but not the greatest night for the Heat in general. On to the Nuggets. Gary Harris hurt his ankle in this one.
Nice, Gary!
It wasn't really very nice. He wasn't able to play in the second half. Fartin Will Barton did return. 15 and 10, 4 assists, a steal and a block. He's available in 47% of leagues. And while Harris is ailing, Barton's a guy that we add, and we hope that he gets more of that usage. It's hard to fully evaluate this game because it was a lot of garbage time. Jamal Murray had 21, 5 and 4, while Nikola Jokic only played 23 minutes, had some foul troubles. He is a buy low guy. If you can execute that at all, it is going to be tough to get him considering the amount of draft capital that was invested to acquire him. But 9, 5 and 5 with a triple one is not what you need from your first round pick. If Harris misses significant time, I think he's a drop. He's sort of a borderline guy as it is. And if he's missing time, there's no point holding on. Malik Beasley didn't take advantage of Harris's absence. 3 points in 17 minutes. They did start Torrey Craig in the second half. I think they'll go to Beasley next game and start him there. But it was Monty Morris who got the bump in minutes. 11 and 8 with a steal and a block for Morris. So Beasley could be like a 14-team ad. Morris might be a 14-team ad until we find out exactly what's going on with Harris. Paul Millsap suffered a lacerated face. 10 points, 5 rebounds in his 17 minutes. That enabled Jeremy Grant to play 30 minutes and have 15, 5, and 3. That's very much a Thunder Jeremy Grant type of line. I don't think Millsap's injury is significant. Therefore, both Millsap and Grant not really must roster 12-team league players. We also got 3 minutes of Michael Porter Jr. at the end of this game because it was a blowout. He is out of the rotation, it appears, while everyone is healthy on this Nuggets squad. Let's move on and just have a look at some injury news that we need to recap. John Collins, as I mentioned, suspended. He's got 24 games to go on that suspension. Jabari Parker is the ad there. And then you trickle down to DeAndre Hunter, Reddish, Herder, and then Len and Fernando are way down the list there. And Zach Collins out for 4 months with his shoulder surgery. We thought it was going to be a long time. That is obviously long. He's a drop in every format. Even if you've got IR, I don't really see the point of stashing him. You're going to need that IR spot at other points. Mario Hezonja is the better option. I don't know whether they're going to give him the 30 a night he needs to crack into 12-team value. He's more of a 14-team ad. Tolliver's more of a 16-team league ad at this point. In Minnesota, Shabazz Napier is doubtful with a hamstring injury. And then Jeff Teague cropped up on the injury report with illness. Now, if both he and Napier are out, they have no other point guard apart from G-leaguer Jordan McLaughlin, who they might have to bring up, or it could be Jarrett Culver. So if you're looking for a deeper league stream, Culver and McLaughlin, they might be in for a bigger role On Wednesday, Jordan Bell also listed as questionable. His role was going to be pretty small, I would imagine, with Karl Anthony Towns returning from his suspension. Kawhi Leonard will sit out on Wednesday, having his load managed. The Clippers have two games this week, and Leonard is not going to play in them. Weirdly, they scheduled them as a back-to-back. They also have another back-to-back next week. Hasn't been an encouraging start, with Leonard missing one of both of the back-to-backs so far. He is going to play on Thursday, is the report, but we don't get to see Kawhi going up against Milwaukee on Wednesday, which is obviously not an ideal situation. Hopefully, he does start playing in back-to-backs at some point. PJ Washington bruised his leg during the game. Nothing considered serious. He's day-to-day. Gary Harris with his ankle, as I mentioned, and Paul Millsap with his face. Millsap, again, not considered too serious of an injury there. Let's flip it over now and talk some DFS as we look at these games. 9 games on Wednesday. We're going to be focusing mainly on DraftKings pricing. All right, the first game for Wednesday, we're looking at the Washington Wizards traveling to take on the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are on a back-to-back. We don't know the status of Miles Turner or Domantas Sabonis at this point. I will be having a live pregame show tomorrow, which you can check on the YouTube channel. So check that out for the latest news on those guys and updated DFS values. Of course, you see it on my main channel page, that live show, which will go at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Let's look at the point guards here. For this one, we're looking at Isaiah Thomas at 5,300. First start last game, it wasn't fantastic, but 25 points in 24 minutes absolutely makes him worth a look in this one. While Malcolm Brogdon at 8,100, it's a pretty expensive price for Brogdon, but it is a good matchup against Isaiah Thomas. I actually like both of these guys as options here. Ish Smith, TJ McConnell, Bonga, Aaron Holiday, not so much. Troy Brown, he is at 4,500. Looked really good last game, 40 points in 31 minutes. At that 4,500 price point, it's hard to go past Brown. There is a ton of value really right across the league for this 9-game slate, and Brown is one of those. Brad Beal's at 86, pretty cheap for Beal. He hasn't quite been at the level we've needed him to be at. He's still averaging 45 over the last 5, which is strong. He's a good option. It's probably not the best spot to play him with so many other good options out there. 6,900 for Jeremy Lamb.
Giggity.
I think Lamb at that price has a pretty solid floor, like almost a 32-point floor, which is pretty strong. He can easily go up to 40, and that is really boosted if Sabonis is out because it gives more usage towards Lamo there. At small forward, Tony Warren Jr., 5,800, really good game from him. Today, he's been putting up some strong ones lately. A sub-6,000 price is pretty good for Warren. Again, probably more in the fade territory if Sabonis is out, but if Domas is in, it's a fade. If Domas is out, then Warren becomes a stronger option as more usage flows through him. He's a very usage-dependent person. 3,900 for Davis Bertans, not really all that interested there. For the bigs, Sabonis is at 8,300. I'm all about that. If he plays, he should roast Thomas Bryant and Flaming Mo Wagner. Speaking of Bryant, he is at 6,800. He hasn't quite been where we've needed him to be. He's probably going to be a fade here. Rui's at 5,500. I don't mind the cash floor value there. He had 24 points in 16 minutes last game. Of course, the game before that, he had 6 points in 29 minutes. So quite fluctuable, but I don't mind him at that sort of a salary. While Miles Turner at 6,900. I don't expect Turner to play, and I also don't expect anybody to be using him at that salary. We could look at Flaming Mo Wagner, who's been putting up good numbers. He's putting up some pretty interesting lines here. 27 points in 22 minutes last game. He's averaging 22 points over the last 5, and at 3,900, it's not a terrible option. It's not the best option, but it is one that you can at least try and differentiate yourself with by getting him in there, because he's putting up relatively consistent numbers, and consistency is always a good thing, especially for cash games. The New York Knickerbockers and the Detroit Pistons, Derrick Rose, Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, Tim Frazier, they are all out for Detroit. For New York, Mitchell Robinson has been reinstalled as the starting center. That doesn't mean shit in terms of minutes with Fizdale. Alfred Payton and Dennis Smith are also out, so we're likely to get another start from Frank Ntilikina. At point guard in this one, we're looking at RJ Barrett at 6,700. He had 34 points in 41 minutes last time. We know he's going to play a lot. He's probably going to be a 30-point guy almost no matter what. Pretty strong floor value. While the Duck, Luke Kennard, is at 6,000. Have to love him here. With all those guards out, he is really thriving, averaging 32 over the last 3. Ntilikina and Trier, I'd much prefer Alonzo at that 3,400 mark. It's impossible to trust him. I'm not sure his upside is high enough to use in tournaments, but he's a better option than Ntilikina. While Langston Galloway at 36 is Langston Galloway. At shooting guard, Tone Snell's at 3,400. I don't know why I bothered even mentioning him, but I do need to mention the Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, he's at 5,300 because he has been dominating. 42 points last game. 5,300 with all those guys out. I think we have to look at Brown, who at point guard is rebounding. He's getting assists. He's picking up defensive numbers. He's scoring a bit. Really, really good option there. Markieff Morris is at 3,800. He has been absolute trash. I would not put any faith in him at all. The Fort Kevin Knox, similarly. While Marcus Morris, his brother, 5,900. Have to like that. Really good numbers from him. 39 average over the last three. Nothing to say that his role is going to be changing at all. So he's a strong cash option here. For the bigs, Randall's at 6,800. He hasn't really been anywhere near where he's needed to be, but he has played really well against Drummond and the Pistons before. 41 average the last three times out. If you're looking to get back into the Randall business, this could be the game to do it. So a bit of an upside guy. Well, Christian Wood at 3,600. It's your guess is as good as mine as to how many minutes he's going to play. 26 in 21 minutes last game, which is enough at 36. But he could play 12 minutes. He could play 25 minutes, depending on what Casey wants to do. A risky option. Drummond at 10.8 is an absolute smash play. Love that for cash and for tournaments. Well, Mitchie Robinson at 5,000.
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
Look, if he gets 30 minutes, he'll shit on that. He just hasn't got anywhere near to that level of playing time at all this season, so that's pretty hard to rely upon. More of a tournament guy. Punch Bob's at 5,000. He is always only a tournament guy at the absolute best. The next guy the next game we take a look at is the vaunted Golden State Warriors taking on the Houston Rockets. D'Angelo Russell is questionable from the Warriors side. Draymond is out. Eric Gordon is questionable from the Rockets, while Russell Westbrook will return after sitting out last game. At point guard, Alec Burks is at $4,000. He played 28 minutes in that big win over the Blazers, had 21 points. I'm not super into him here. I do like Westbrook a lot at 9,400, and I like Harden quite a bit at 11,200. Both of those guys should be able to make the 50 and 60 point marker. They've been putting up strong enough numbers, even though some of the on-court stuff hasn't been great. 8,200 for D'Angelo Russell. Now, if Russell plays, I think his roster percentage will be pretty low, and that could make him an interesting option. The last time he played without Draymond, without Steph, he dropped in 49 points in 33 minutes. So he could easily smash through that 8,200 value, but of course the injury with his ankle leaves it a little bit in doubt. While Kai Bowman at 59, Bowman played 37 minutes and had 35 points, and that is way too high of a salary for Bowman. If Russell plays, if Russell is out, putting him into a GPP is something we should look at. Eric Gordon's at 45. No, thanks. Jordan Poole's at 45. Now, Poole had 30 points in that game against the Blazers. If D'Angelo is back, it is a little bit harder to get too excited about Poole as anything more than a tournament guy. Well, Damian Lee at 43. He's been more consistent. I don't mind his cash floor regardless of Russell's status. For the small forwards, PJ Tucker's at 45. No, thank you. Danny House at 51. I love what he's been doing. 25 average over the last five. That's perfect for a $5,100 cash guy. We can get more out of him as well. The little dog, Glenn Robinson, no thanks. Eric Pascal, 6,500. He dropped 57 against the Blazers. Now, Draymond's not going to be back, so he's going to get a lot of minutes. Russell is, so it's unlikely that Pascal puts up, Russell maybe. And even if Russell isn't, Pascal is unlikely to put up that 57-point performance again. 6,500 screams a little bit to me that it's on the high side for Pascal. So with, again, lots of other options around, I would likely go in that direction. Capella at 6,400. He has historically done pretty well against the Warriors, a 43 average over the last three times. It's a different Warriors team, obviously, but he's not going to have that problem with Durant and Curry and those guys, you know, killing him. Small ball side with Draymond as well. They're not there. So 6,400, it's a nice bounce back opportunity for Capella. Willie Cauley-Stein's at 48, just not playing enough. Amari Spellman, the Wizards at 33. Marquise Chris at 33 and Tyson Chandler at 3,000. I don't think we should be really interested in any of those guys at this stage. The next game up, we're looking at the Chicago Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks. Both of these teams coming off a back-to-back. This is in Atlanta. This game, of course, we know that the Baptist John Collins will be suspended, or he is suspended, so he won't play in this game. So we're likely going to get that Jabari Parker into the starting lineup situation that we saw. At point guard, Kobe White was going off against the Lakers on Tuesday. He's at 3,600. He's been really inconsistent with his play, but that was obviously strong. He's a GPP type of a player. Chris Dunn's at 3,500. No, thank you. Zach LaVine at 72. I don't mind LaVine, especially against this Hawks defense. There's something there. Trey Young at 91, back from the ankle injury as well. So 9,100, I think, has some value for Trey. Satoransky's at 46. Better guys around. Reddish, Archer Jackano, Bembry. I don't really see much. Maybe Reddish at 43. You could see him as a GPP guy. Hit some threes in today's game as well against the Spurs. Fan of Pants, Kevin Huerter, is at 3,900. His minutes limit is up to 30. Now, at this point, I don't have any word whether he will be playing because it's a back-to-back, but I'd imagine because the minutes restriction has been upped, he'll be okay to play. He's a tournament-y type of guy. There's no other shooting guard specific players. Small forwards, you've got DeAndre Hunter. He's really not doing all that much consistently this season, but you have to love Jabari, although he has been jumped up to 6,700, which takes some of the appeal away, but it is a positive matchup for Parker going up against his former team. I think there is some value in him. Thad Young at 45, Vince Carter at 31. I don't hate Vince at 31. He's getting those backup power forward minutes with Collins out. There is something there. Otto Porter, 45, really just a tournament guy. For the bigs, Bruno Fernando's at 31. Alex Lenz at 42. Maybe tournament, but I'm not super interested there. Markkanen is at 6,400. He's really been struggling. It's still tournament time for him because he can get hot. Well, Wendell Carter has been fantastic. 5,900 for Carter. I actually really like that salary for him. So I think he's someone that we can use and have a decent degree of confidence that he will be at least somewhat successful in his role. The next game we look at, the Sacramento Kings and the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors favored by 8.5 and the total is 217.5 here. Harry Giles is questionable. That's fine. He's not going to be an impact player in the rotation anyway. At point guard, De'Aaron Foxy Fox is at 7,400. I think that's a good price for Fox and it's one we should be looking at. It's a $600 price drop, so I'm happy to get onto him there. Fred VanVleet's at 6,300. I'm not really sure we look at him as much of a tournament guy. There's some cash value in that. And Lowry's at 84, crushing numbers like that pretty much every game. I think that's a strong play as well. At shooting guard, Bogdan Bogdanovic is at 4,300 for a reason. He's not doing anything. Now, he has had a history of putting up some really good numbers against the Raptors in the past, but I'm not certain that that's going to be something that we're all about here. Bud Heald's at 64. Cash maybe, but even then, I think the floor's a little bit shaky and the ceiling's limited. Norm Powell might get some extra minutes with Pat McCaw out, but it shouldn't be anything we're that keen on. At small forward, Ariza's at 3,500. Cool. And OG Anunoby, the Jedi.
Hello there.
5,200 for the Jedi. I think that's probably just, it's a touch overpriced. He's more of a $4,500 guy, and there are better options to fill that slot. The pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. Actually playing well. 27 average over the last five, 33 over the last three. At 5,200, that's not a bad cash type of option. Slotted in, at the same price as OG Anunoby, I would rather take Barnes at this spot, especially with Bagley out. At center, Pascal Siakam at $8,000. The numbers for him haven't quite been where they need to be at an $8,000 price point, but it's dropped by $500. So I think he's really back in the conversation as a strong option here. Gasol's at 52. 33 points last game for Gasol. People, conveniently ignore that when talking about him being washed up. He actually put up a decent game. Doesn't mean I'm interested in using him. It's just something to watch that he can still have the occasional performance like that. Nemanja Bjelica, 4,900. I actually think there's good cash play for Bjelica. He's putting up strong lines, and he does have a 35-point upside. Rashawn Holmes is at 58. Love the cash value in him as well. Ibaka at 57. Better ones out there. And The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, well, he is almost officially dead in terms of his fantasy basketball value. Let's move on to the next game. We're looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies. Some interesting injury situations here. Shabazz Napier is doubtful with that hamstring. No surprise. Jordan Bell is questionable with his shoulder. Again, no real surprise. But interestingly, Jeff Teague is questionable with an illness.
My name is Jeff.
So if Teague is out, if Napier is out, who the hell is the point guard? Well, they're going to have to call up Jordan McLaughlin from the G League. I don't think he will start, but will we get Jarrett Culver starting at point guard? Or will we get McLaughlin starting? There's some value that could really open up for this Timberwolves team for both Culver and for McLaughlin as interesting point guard-ish type players. Karl Anthony Towns will be back after his suspension. Teague's at 5,500. So, if he's ready to go at that cheap of a price in a really good matchup, I'm all about it. But we just don't know at this stage. Ja Morant's at 71. He's been crushing, averaging 36 over his last five. That's a good matchup for Morant as well. Well, Tyus at 4,000. With Grayson Allen out, We got good crossover, 28 points in 25 minutes for Tyus last game. Plenty of value for him to get you that $4,000 back that you paid to get him into your lineup. At shooting guard, Culver's at 3,200. Now, the minutes have been up over 20 the last three games. Not quite 20 points per game, but if he is slotted into that starting point guard role or even backup point guard role with Napier out, there's 3,200 is a very cheap price for Jarrett Culver. Andy Wiggins is at 66. He's giving us this value most nights, so he is an option too. While Okogie at 4,000, if they have to play Culver over at point guard more because Teague is out, that opens up more minutes for Okogie at shooting guard, which should make him at least marginally interesting, but yeah, you'd rather take Culver at the 3,200. Dylan Brooksy-Brooks is at 4,900. 34 points for Brooksy last game, and with Allen out, they have to rely upon him a little bit more. But I'm not super into him. There is some tournament value. At small forward, Jake Layman's at 3,400. Yeah, no interest. Jay Crowder at 48 is too expensive. Bob Covington at 54. He's like a 25-point guy at the moment, which isn't quite enough. Towns is back, so that probably limits Covington marginally too. Kyle Anderson also not worth looking at. For the big man, Townsy, 10,000, bang, smash, lock it in. Absolutely love it. Jonas Valanciunas at 6,100. It's all going to be about minutes for Valanciunas, so it is hard to be too excited there, but that's not a bad price for JV. We've got Jaren Jackson Jr., who's listed as probable, so he should return, 5,700. Only really interested there for tournaments, while Brandon Clark at 5,000. Disappointing last time out, but not one we're super into here, especially if Jaren Jackson is returning and ready to go. Next up, the Orlando Magic and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are 7.5-point favorites. The total, 207.5 of all of the totals that are listed so far. This is the lowest one of those. Maxi Kleber is listed as questionable for the Mavericks. At point guard, Markel Fultz will get another start. He's at 4,100. The minutes do tend to get limited, though. We saw last game, it's more just a rotation thing than a big bump in minutes. But at 4,100 as a starting point guard, you do have to at least investigate whether Fultz will make sense in a GPP lineup. Doncic is at 9,800. Love that. That's absolutely smash-worthy. He has been putting up the numbers at a huge, huge rate. DeLon Wright's at 49. Not a high ceiling, but a pretty strong floor. So I do like DeLon. And the Mavericks starting lineup, who knows what that's going to be. It's changed pretty much every game so far this season. Brunson was good last game at 4,500. If we do hear that he's starting, there is some value in using him. Seth Curry, not really. Fournier is at 48. Yeah, strong start to the season. Has dropped off a bit. Terry Ross, 3,900 is a GPP guy. That's really about it for Rossi. Timmy Hardaway, no thank you. At small forward, Finney Smith's at 38. The fluctuation in minutes and production is tough to stomach. Johnny Isaac at 56. I do like the tournament upside. The defense can almost bring that floor on its own, and then if your offense gets cracking, then he's a big-time upside guy. Gordon's at 59, Aaron Gordon. Last couple of games really starting to get cranking here for Gordo. I don't mind it. There are better options out there, but I don't hate it. The chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Yeah, he's usually shit, so I don't think we need to get too interested there. At center, 4,000 for Dwight Powell. Hasn't hit his stride at all, but that's a really cheap price for Powell, so at least keep him in mind for tournaments. Kleber's at 4,000. Knee, questionable status, yeah, nothing. Porzingis, 7,700.
Porzingis.
7,700's not that high for Porzingis. I feel okay with him in cash and in tournaments. Well, Nikola Vucevic is down to 7,900. I think Vooch can be close to a 40-point guy here, but I'm not running to add him into all lineups. Ken Birch, probably going to be the backup center because Mo Bamba is going to sit out given it is a back-to-back. And he played on Tuesday. The 76ers and the Utah Jazz. The Jazz are favored by two. The total is 212. Joel Embiid will be returning from his suspension in this game. At point guard, Joshie Richardson's at 4,400. That's a nice price drop for Richo. The recent production hasn't been great, but he can be a 25-point guy, so I'm all right with him. Benny Simmons at 77. Even the shit games from Simmons, like that one against Phoenix, he still had 33 points, which is not a disaster. It's not great, but it's not a disaster. He's at least in play here. Mike Conley at 65. You'd only want to use Conley in tournaments at this stage. Well, Don Mitchell at 7,800.
He's Don. He's good.
I really like Mitchell at 7,800. That's strong considering he's giving us almost 40 a night every single night. At shooting guard, you're looking at the painter Matisse Leibel at 3,200. Not interested. Furkan Korkmaz at 36. Absolutely dominated last game. 30 points. against the Suns, but with Embiid back, that takes a lot of Korkmaz's utility away, so not super interested in him. At small forward, O'Neal's at 35, Royce O'Neal, no. Jeff Green at 31, no. Jingle and Joe at 48, he's not really where he needs to be, while Toby Harris at 66, really putting up big games with Embiid out. That 66 is not a high price tag, so I actually think he's worth looking at, while Bojan at 57, Bojan Bogdanovic, yeah, I think there are better options to spend that money on. Mike Scott, George Niang, James Ennis, no. At center, Embiid, 9-5. Let's go. I'm smashing that. Now, Gobert has had some impact on plenty of centers over the journey. Embiid's still averaging 48 the last three times against the Jazz and Gobert. Let's go with him. As for Rudy at 7,600, his production has been nowhere near where it needs to be. I think he's more of a GPP guy, but there is clear upside there in him. While Tone Bradley at 3,100, his first real stint at backup minutes last game, 18 points in 14 minutes. That's pretty good. Is it worth using? I'm not sure about that, but there's something there. While Al Horford at 6,400, really big numbers, mainly because Embiid has been out, so I'm not buying too much into it. In fact, I think he's probably a decent-sized fade in this one. All right, let's flip over to the next game. We're looking at the last one of the night, the Milwaukee Bucks and the LA Clippers. Of course, Kawhi Leonard is out. He is managing his load.
Giggity!
In this one, that's frustrating. We don't know whether it's going to be Mo Harkless into the starting lineup, Lou Williams into the starting lineup, multiple options for the Clippers. Now, that means a ton of value opens up. Lou is at 6,500. I love it. Patrick Beverley at 4,900. I actually think that's pretty strong value against a Bucks team as well. Eric Bledsoe playing quite well himself, 6,300. Averaging 38 the last three times out. Not a bad guy to take a look at here. George Hill, DiVincenzo. Dante DiVincenzo at 3,700. He's been putting up numbers. So if we want to have a look at someone as maybe a GPP low roster percentage guy, he could be that one. Landry Shamet at 3,900. He's done close to nothing all season, only for tournaments if you're that way inclined. 7,000 for Chris Middleton. Better ways of spending that, I think. Scooter Magruder, Wes Matthews, Paddy Connaughton. No. At small forward, Mo Harkless, 3,200. Have to get in on that. Even if he gives you 20 points, it's plenty of value. Jermichael Green at 39. I also like that with Kawhi out. That's tons of value opening up. While Gianni Antetokounmpo, 11,700. It's pretty expensive for Antetokounmpo, but he's like a 60-point guy almost every time out. At center, Patrick Patterson, 3,100. An opportunity for him to have a little bit more usage, only for tournaments, though. He's been really quiet lately. The table, Montrezl Harrell at 62. Love that. Ivica Zubac at 41, love it. He's been giving you that floor value every night, maybe a little bit bigger opportunity with Kawhi out for him. Brooke Lopez at 52 has been a bit off. Yeah, tournaments, maybe that's about it. Well, Ilya Sova and Robin Lopez, they're not really doing anything to get me all that excited at all. So let's take a look now at some value plays over on FanDuel. Jarrett Culver, I like at 35, Mo Harkless at 36, and Troy Brown at 4,000. Really good cheap options. Lou Williams and Jermichael Green also stand out pretty strongly. Montrezl Harrell also. Randall is a bit of a pivot type of guy. Paddy Beverley, Kobe White, Valanciunas, Zubac, Paddy Patterson is a tournament guy also. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. is down to 61. Really just a GPP option. Josh Okogie at 39. Harden, Kennard, Drummond, Towns, they're all pretty strong cash and tournament options over on FanDuel. That will wrap it up for today's podcast. Subscribe to the show, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up, leave a comment, tell your friends, share it around social medias. It's very much appreciated. Go and check the show I did earlier today, talking in depth about John Collins' suspension, as well as talking about some buy low targets. Tomorrow we've got the live pregame show, 6:30 p.m. And if you want to sponsor this mustache that I'm growing, check the link in the description of this show and you can donate to help raise funds for men's cancer and men's mental health as I grow this horrible mustache. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Ricky Rubio.